This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio today is brought to you by the Cleveland Clinic and Prince.
Nassau's gone funky. Nassau's gone soul. We've got a doggone beat now. We're gonna call our very own. Nassau Rock and Nassau Road. Nassau's got a whole lot of soul.
And welcome to another edition of Guardian Radio today. No, this is not Gabby. This is Calhoun Ankusa Ross sitting in for Gabby today. On 96.9 Guardian Radio, fresh news, smart talk all day. I pray that you are having a wonderful day. It is hot. There's a heat wave, they say, going on. Yeah, every summer you have a heat wave, right? But I pray you are staying cool, staying hydrated, and most importantly, staying safe. It is the eighth day of July, the 4 o'clock hour, and we want to talk independence. You know, it's an open line, but I want to talk independence. You know, we won't be here on Friday, but I want to know what independence means to you. You know what I mean? What does it mean? You know, as Nassau, just obviously the Bahamas is having independence, not Nassau. I think we so Nassau centric. What happening in Nassau reflects the whole Bahamas, but there are many islands that aren't seeing the crime that we're seeing or the congestion that we are seeing, and so we got to think about the Bahamas on this independence. The numbers today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, the family of islands, toll free 242-300-5720. Of course, the Guardian Radio text line is powered by BTC. That's 422-4796. 422-4796. Standard text rates to apply. Streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com. And you can also catch up with us on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. What does independence mean to you? Is it just another day off? Is it just opportunity to skip work? Or do we use it to reflect? Do we use it to see where we may have gone wrong and cement some of the things that we've done right? I want to hear from you. I see the phone lines are lit up. Let's go to our first caller on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
How you doing, Uncle?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling.
I was good to hear you on so early.
Yeah, well, I'm normally in the 2 to 4 slot, but I normally on Tuesdays and Fridays, but Gabby asked me to fill in for her today. So, yeah, man. How you doing?
Honestly, I got something to get off my chest, though.
Go ahead, man.
I made a comment on this morning's show, right, about the BPL situation, you know?
Yeah.
And the role of consultants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they getting paid for what they are doing and what are they doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I thought I'd made a good contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually received a phone call from a talk show host.
Really?
I received a phone call from a talk show host on my private line trying to rebut what I said on the earlier talk show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now I've come to the ultimate conclusion, you know, it's been playing around in my mind for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Our politicians, would-be politicians, they have each other's back.
Mm.
They protect each other.
Mm-hmm.
And because they make up a particular portion of the status quo, they get to play both sides of the field every 5 or 10 years in terms of, how the vote is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, particular and peculiar status quo, whose lifestyle remains protected by the public treasury.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that is what it all comes down to.
Mm.
Now, I think, it's like that. It's like the American Indian proverb. Same bird, different wings. And the thing about birds is that they can only fly in one direction. and they fly to their benefit. And I don't think our Bahamian politicians, they would want to live any place else in the world.
No.
They can't live like they live any place else in the world.
I agree.
So you
wanted them to hear what you had to say. I got you.
I've been in room with those guys before, right?
Yeah.
And if a conversation is happening, as long as I don't mention a name,
mm-hmm.
everyone in the room seems to have the idea that I'm talking about them.
Ah, okay.
See, so I think, we, as an electorate, we need to get on the game because mm-hmm. these guys living.
Yep.
These guys living off the public treasury. We don't have anybody out there who say they are leading us, right?
Mm.
And they have changed the economic landscape of this nation significantly.
Mm.
It's just the same thing over and over and over again, year in, year out, and they continue to kick the can down the road every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The only difference I think is that the FNM tends to run the country for better.
Mm.
But other than that, ain't no difference, buddy.
Wow. Well, anyway, I appreciate the call, my brother.
Stay safe, man.
Yeah, thank you. Happy independence, man. Consultants in the Bahamas government play a vital advisory, legal, and operational role. And they are often hired to guide specialized short-term projects that require specific expertise not readily available within the standard public service. Right? So what's the role of government consultants? Consultants are brought in across various ministries to provide short-term targeted solutions. You have legal, financial, and accounting services, so advising on national revenue, debt management, legal contracts. You have technology and digital transformation, supporting IT infrastructure, maintenance, website designs, crypto digital asset advice, and digitizing public service records. You also have policy and public administration assisting with climate action projects, tugboat harbor services, tourism marketing, and mitigating learning loss from the COVID-19. Okay. Now, how much do they make? That's the big question. Consultancy compensation in the Bahamas generally spans the following categories based on industry data and public expenditure lists. So this is coming from a site called Economic Research Institute, as well as salaryexpert.com. When you ask about consultant government affairs in the Bahamas, right? The salary expert talks about this. But individual or standard consultants, they say, and I stand to be corrected, but they say entry to mid-level consultants average between $46,000 to $76,000 Bahamian dollars per year, 46,000 to 76,000 per year, while specialized and senior level advisors can pull in well over $90,000 depending on the project. Now, corporate and institutional contracts. The government spends millions on large-scale consultancy firms such as KPMG, Ernst & Young, Deloitte, and PwC. In a recent national budget revealed, the Ministry of Finance alone allocated $27 million to short-term accounting, legal, and financial consultancy. All right, it's a story from Our News Bahamas. $57 million awarded in consultant contracts by the PLP government. And then over $250 million in consultants. Another story in the Nassau Guardian, .com. So consultants, if you are able to get in that space, I guess you could do well. You know what I mean? But the thing about this economy, you know, it's like if you're not in bed with the government on some level, like how do you get to those millions, right? People, I hear my friends in the financial world talk about a $1 trillion economy, right? And I'm like, trillions of dollars. In the global economy. And why is it so hard for us to come across just say $10,000 a month? Just $10,000, right? Because it's almost like, I don't want to say it's a conspiracy, right? But why is it so hard, right? Because they tell you, boy, you got to go get your education. You got to, you know, I think we're the most educated people on this planet. Bahamians got more degrees than the sun. You understand? But in the global economy, and all of this for me is why I think we were fighting for independence, right? So we could have access to opportunities, and Bahamians could be, you know, we could be living very well. The global economy is projected to reach approximately $126 trillion in terms of nominal gross domestic product. The strength and composition of the global economy are defined by several key metrics. So the total nominal GDP is projected at $126 trillion. Okay? This is from a site, Veroni by Visual Capitalists. Real GDP growth slowing moderately to 3% according to the IMF, or 2.5% according to the World Bank, amid regional conflicts and energy supply shocks. The global foreign direct investment, valued at $1.6 trillion, driven heavily by major artificial intelligence and digital infrastructure projects. So we know that the Honorable Sebas Bastian is now at a conference dealing with, you know, AI and how it's going to affect this country, and obviously it's a big space to play in, right? The distribution of wealth by country, global output is highly concentrated. Four countries generating roughly half of all economic activity worldwide. So this kind of helping me to understand why, yeah, we could be independent, but if you're in one of these four countries, like they got half between four countries, right? In the United States, right, $32.38 trillion, representing over a quarter of the entire global economy. $32.38 trillion. China, $20.85 trillion, right? Continuing as the second largest global economy. Then you have Germany, drops all the way down to $5.45 trillion, maintaining its position as Europe's largest economy. And then you have Japan at 4.38 trillion, narrowly leading the rest of the top tier. So it's like, when we think about independence and our ability to play in the global economy, you know, there's a lot of conversations being had about different things. We have tourists coming in record numbers. However, how does that matriculate down to the regular Bahamian? You know, are we seeing a growth in our paychecks? Are we seeing a growth in opportunities? These are the things that we got to ask. This text says, presently, independence is just like any other holiday. It means greedy and unfair politicians, unsatisfactory government salary, high cost of food, increasing power bills and outages, unsecure borders. We are still waiting to be paid back pay and salary increases. Honestly, there's nothing to celebrate in terms of country growth. Wow, is that how you feel? I don't mean the text. I mean everybody else. Are we at that point where we don't really feel? I mean, I know we can take the day off now. We ain't going to stay to work because we mad. We ain't going to do that. You know what I mean? But the things that we really struggled with, you know, to get to this point, I want to share some of those things as we go throughout today's show, because there's a book my grandfather wrote called Let the Church Roll On, that talks about some of the struggles that we went through, you know, to achieve independence. And one of the essays that he wrote, I'm going to share some stuff from him. Some thoughts from Sir Clifford Darling. Sir Clifford Darling gave me a book. This would be in January 14th of 2008. January 14th of 2008, right? It says, best wishes from Sir Clifford Darling, Nassau, Bahamas, to Cleveland W. Unions III. He put this in my hand and he said, look, you can need this. Now, I didn't really read. I put it on the shelf, and I didn't really start reading this book. It's called A Bahamian Life Story, Volume 1, The Years of Struggle, 1922 to 1958, right? I didn't really read this book until about 2 years ago. I'm still going through it. But I don't know if a lot of us understand what people fought for. I know I surely didn't understand everything for us to have independence. And, you know, I think we have lost our way in some ways, but let me let you guys, you know, share your sentiments. Let's go back to the phone lines. Caller, you're live.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Ines. Hope you're doing good today, sir.
Hey, my brother. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing. You can't complain, man. You can't complain.
Good.
But just now, when you were saying, I just want to touch on the last thing that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When you were saying that the struggle, people talk about the struggle for independence and for what we have now, right?
Yeah.
But, and we talking about what we have now is a joke.
Mm.
So who is the struggle really for?
Right.
Do you get my point?
I would.
Right now, how the independence is a jokey one. Independence, so what was it, like, see, we can't get caught up in, like, the points of views or persons at that time or whatever. We have to get caught up in what is the real value of it to us.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Because they celebrate individuals who are supposed to be our so-called founding fathers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what did they really do? What did they really found? You know, what is it that they founded? Do you understand? They founded nothing. They didn't write the Constitution, et cetera, but they are credited for things like that, see? And so when you say, struggle for what? To get the independence that we have now? You know what I mean? I expected more from the men back then. I feel as if they have failed us. You understand? I feel as if we should have been taken into an independence that was more about self-determination as opposed to one that was just about a perpetuation of the system that existed. That's not independent.
I'm listening.
That's just a switch of the faces who lead you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I agree 1,000,000% with the first caller when he was saying that politicians watch their backs.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because, see, you have to understand. Like, I think, and I was kind of like in and out, but I heard him talk about the boy with the wing and stuff. I think what he was saying is like more or less what I was going to say. You see, no matter which one of the parties are in power, right? We are like on a bus, right? Mm-hmm. And no matter which PLB I have, no matter which one I'm sitting in the driver's seat,
mm-hmm.
the bus does not change the destination. It's still going in the same place it was going. We mm-hmm. just pick in which one of them could drive us to where we're going. But the thing about it is that the decision on the direction and on the destination is not the driver. Mm. They're working for someone else.
Mm.
Do you understand? That is why there's no real difference in the policies. That is why when one party is in power and they argue against something the party in power is doing, when they come and they put in the same thing that they were so strongly against.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Because
so,
they,
I listen.
Yeah. But not... Mm-hmm. You were talking about the independents and the consultants and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, because the caller...
You know, I have two little songs, little acoustic sound, and what I have,
mm-hmm,
one
mm-hmm.
on independents
mm-hmm.
and one dealing with consultants. So you know my feelings on them two things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm happy that you had the open line, Roberta, because there's one or two things I wanted to touch about going quickly with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, and I mean, I was hoping that you would have an open line, and I heard it yesterday, but... There were so many people calling, and I was like, you know, I really can't get in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I was, you know, just so happened that here it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, one or two things I wanted to touch on was like, when we were having the conversation about, I said to you something about, there's no way, of self-determination or whatever that we can choose, that we choose as black people, that we receive so much persecution as an individual who chose to be a Rastaman.
Mm.
And you were telling me that I could not prove it. And then you started to say things like, what about the people from the UNIA and how you asked them how they felt about certain things. And I told you I could, but you would say I couldn't,
mm-hmm.
right? But see, the question I want to ask you is this. Which one of the things that you spoke about, like the UNIA or the Muslim things, right,
mm-hmm.
would your own parents disown you for?
Would my own parents what?
Which one? Like, look, if you chose to be join the UNIA
right.
with Gavi back then or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you choose to be a Muslim,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those would disown you?
Oh.
Like how when you chose, like back in, especially back in the day, when you chose to be a Rastaman, how your parents, how your own parents, your own family would disown you? Which one of those was that to that point where your own mother and father would disown you?
Well, I mean, in the Bahamas, we know the Rastafarian movement had that type of effect on in our country.
Yes.
I agree
yes.
with you on that because
yes, and see that's why when I said to you
mm-hmm.
that it is the thing that has received the most persecution,
mm-hmm.
I was surprised when you just didn't agree with me.
No, I wasn't thinking just locally, but I do understand.
No, but I wasn't just thinking locally either because
mm-hmm.
Because you think that being a Rastaman was only a problem in the Bahamas at that time.
No, of course not. I just know.
Locally? No.
Well, let me
yeah,
just
so,
say this.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. I know of friends of mine when I went to university who, if they came from a staunch Christian, that they were Muslim, like they could get outcast for that, right?
Yeah, but not.
I'm just saying it all depends on the background you're starting out from.
Yeah, but see, but what I'm trying to say though, brothers, though, even though that they might receive, I'm not saying that you receive no pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? I said the one that has the most extreme cases.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said to you. I didn't say the other ones did not have any kind of because in a lot of those other cases, right, you
mm-hmm.
became those things because of your parents,
mm-hmm.
like especially with the UNIA with Gavi time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from? Most people who are still Gavi, they are Gavi because their parents followed Marcus Garvey. So you know what I mean? So you can't even talk about that in terms of that.
You could say the same thing for Rastas today too.
Yeah, but
in our generation.
Notice I said to you, but today people will still give people a fight. But I said to you that, like in my and in your lifetime,
mm-hmm.
right? We have seen the change in the way people feel about Rastafari to an extent. It's not as severe as it used to be.
Of course
over,
not. Yeah.
Over me in your lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But see, I want to connect it to something else, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, remember I had asked you in a conversation that we had when I was saying, like, it would be good if we could put certain things that people quote out of the Bible, if we could put it into context, so we could see it in today's time, so we
yeah.
could, you know what I mean? So we can mm-hmm. appreciate what is being said, right?
Yeah.
Like, you, like remember I brought the one when I said to you, Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace.
Right,
but he came to bring a sword.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. He came to bring separation between mother and father,
mm-hmm.
between mother and daughter, father and son,
mm-hmm.
and mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you that you could see it's a separation of, because it didn't say man and wife, it didn't say brother and sister,
mm-hmm.
right? Mother and daughter, father mm-hmm. and son, right?
Yeah.
And I asked you if you could show a knowledge or a truth or an information or a revelation in our time, that you could say, does that or causes that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Rastafari, get the green check in that box also, because Rastafari is that knowledge and is that truth that when it comes, it will cause a separation in the generations. And why?
Well, let me say this.
Because
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just giving you another perspective. When my great-grandfather, W.V. Aeneas, and his wife, Arabella, Aeneas, when they were starting the Church of God in 1910, his house was burned down twice because they looked at what he was doing as not Christian. They didn't see him as a traditional Christian, right? So my family was persecuted, house burned down twice. You understand? So I'm not disagreeing with you that Rastas haven't been persecuted. And collectively so, the Church of God were called jumpers as a derogatory, that was a derogatory term by some people. They call them jumpers. Persecution, even though we see Church of God now and Church of God a prophecy all over this country, it didn't start that way. So I'm just saying that perspective is key. You understand? You being a Rastafarian, you obviously would know the plight of Rastafari, and I have also seen it as well, so I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying,
but this isn't,
ain't no gold medal for the struggle of what's. Ain't no struggle of what's.
Yeah, but see, brother, this isn't oh, just before I answer you quickly, but just let me.
And they state someone say they still call them Jumbo Jake, right?
Name, you know? But let me say this to you based on what you just said just now. Now, when you were talking about based on perspective, what I said to you about, because I was talking about an information that brings a separation between the generations.
Mm-hmm.
When the Bible talks about Jesus said, I didn't come to bring, don't think I come to bring peace, because I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I come to bring a sword.
Right.
I come to put mother against daughter, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I made a correlation to show you, right, how we could see that in our modern times by Rastafari, the truth, and the information and the knowledge about His Imperial Majesty actually being crowned King of Kings in 1930, right?
Mm-hmm.
The revelation of that to the youth, to the younger generation, because the older generation refused that information, because that information been here before I mm-hmm. before I come here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That would be an example of it. That would be an example of it.
Yeah, no, but that would be a prime example of it, and there would be no better example of it.
That's your perspective.
I'm
not going to take that from you. I'm not going to take that from you.
Yeah, but see, it's not about it being my perspective.
Let me tell you why I'm answering you that way. Because I understand that there's a silsila, there's an unbroken genetic chain. And in each generation, there is a piece of the puzzle or there is guidance for each generation, right? And it just so happens that you were born in a day and time where Rastafari was that example for you.
No,
you understand?
What
I'm saying is, you were born in a time where you could have looked at different movements, but for whatever reason, Rastafari was the movement that captivated you or guided you or showed you the truth that you needed to see.
Yeah, Rastafari is the one that was.
Yeah, and so I ain't knocking that. I'm saying it's powerful that we live in a country in a day and time where we could speak like this, because before 1992, you couldn't get on the radio and talk like this.
Yeah, but see, and it's a shame, because then the things we are talking about is not is not obscene.
No, no, not at all.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So the thing is that
we should be discussing
mm-hmm. our situation as black people
mm-hmm.
from every aspect. And as comprehensively as we can, because we are not living, because if we sit back as black people and feel as if there's not a situation in the world that involves us as a people, and if you go to America right now, even though you're Bahamian, you're a black man, so however they treat any black man in America, they'll treat you. Don't get catching no sun down.
Right.
You understand? So I saw something the other day where even somewhere in Eleuthera, it seems as if in Eleuthera, there you can't go in the south or whatever. You're not welcome down there.
Yeah.
So even right here in the Bahamas, your black skin is a problem and an issue.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is that, but then we sit back and cozy back, and we act as if life is all cushy-cushy, as if we don't have...
So let me tell you where I agree with you on, right? I think we forgot the spiritual struggle, because we was talking black power. We weren't on the radio talking about it, but I'm going to read some stuff here today. People would find interesting. Because we had a black power movement here in this country. You understand? We had a movement in this country that was a Garveyite movement. We had a movement in this country that was a Haile Selassie movement in this country. You understand? And a lot of that is what helped, you understand? But we have in many ways forgotten that. You see?
Something else has come across my mind, so you could stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you said, I can't say, but I know it was one occasion for sure, you said Rastafarian.
Okay,
you could just say Rastafari.
Rastafari, that's the proper, no problem. No problem. I don't mean any disrespect by saying
yeah,
so.
I understand.
But say you the proper term is Rastafari. Just say Rastafari.
Yeah, Rastafari.
All right, I got you.
By his name, or some man them call themselves Haile Selassieite. I will even accept that.
You will accept Haile Selassieite.
Because both
mm-hmm.
are being called by his name.
Oh, you okay. I got you.
You understand? And,
yes.
And that's what the book say. They shall be called by his name.
Yes. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, Christians ain't called by name because as far as I'm concerned, the King of Kings is the Anointed One,
mm-hmm.
and Christians are those who follow the Christ, who follow the Anointed One.
Mm-hmm.
So Rastafari is the Christians because we follow the Anointed One. You know what I mean? We are called by that Anointed One's name.
Right.
They call it in a general term, generic term, Christian. You know?
Right. I appreciate it, brother. Thanks for educating us, man. Thank you so much. You know, one of the things that I aim to do when I have the opportunity is to, as an atonist Christian, I understand we have a unification doctrine. So you'll hear many times when people call in, I'm not trying to bash people. I'm trying to figure out where we agree. You understand? Because the Most High is you know, about oneness. And so far as unification. That's a better word, more than oneness, but unification. So I appreciate the caller. Let's go to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live. Caller going once? All right, let's go through some of these texts. Good afternoon, Uncle. Are you talking internal self-governance or are you talking independence? There's a big difference, or is it or isn't it? I am talking about the period where we were coming into a knowledge, understanding that, yes, we could have this internal self-governance and what that would mean for us, right? So I heard the last call, and he said he's somewhat disappointed at some of the founding fathers or asked the question, what did they really found? I think they did the best that they could do. Based on what they had, right? I think that they handed the baton off, and it's our job to fix whatever we see they weren't able to do. I don't think they said, "Hey, 1973, that's it. Let's just party. Let's just we reach." I don't see that being what the message was. Like, okay, we reach, you know. So Lyndon Penland. Famously said that if we don't, and I'm just paraphrasing, but he's basically was saying, look, if you don't ultimately fight for what it is that's yours, you don't deserve it. So he knew that there was still more for us to fight for. some people would argue that he lost his way. You understand? Let me go back to the text, and then I'm going to share some words from my grandfather from the book "Let the Church Roll On," which will be in print very soon. Let's see here. This text says, "Yes, that's how I feel. After Sunday's power outage and all those fancy PR energy ads pre-election, the major power outage pre-lightning, the months of load shedding and power dips, I said to myself, exactly where are we going? Forward and upward? I think Columbus has landed again, and we are completely dazzled by his wealth, his fancy suits, his nice Brazilian weave hairstyle, his matching bag, and his busy talking all the wealth while we are dying again." Wow, powerful, powerful. This next caller says, "Yes, they still call them the jumper church," talking about the Church of God. So my grandfather wrote a book called "Let the Church Roll On," and I'm putting it out in another few months. It'll be available for purchase. But he was talking about black power. He wrote an essay. He was a part of a group, a philosophy group. And he wrote about black power in America, throughout the Caribbean, and then he got to the Bahamas. I'm going to read a little bit of it because it ties into what the previous text that was talking about, internal self-rule, etc. But he says, "Those of you who were here during the general elections of 1967... January 10th would undoubtedly remember reports being circulated about some car being plastered with signs of black power roaming through the town." So there was a car roaming through the town with black power on it, right? "It was also reported being distraught by the thought that someone could be so indelicate as to perpetrate such a crime," quote unquote, "went in search of the car with the bold intentions of stripping it of its labels." You can rip off these black power signs. "Far be it from me to be audacious enough to accuse the honorable minister of hypocrisy. It might be more prudent to brand him as naive or blind to the forces that were at work around him. The latter, I believe, since unless one had dug deeply into the psychological and sociological forces that motivate his actions, he would be unaware of the labels which are attached to his actions. The Bahamas, though varying somewhat in detail, falls under the same as Africa and the West Indies. It is most unlikely that the epidemic that swept the world and our near neighbors would leave us unscathed," talking about this black power, right? "For 300 years, the Bahamas existed and operated under a white power structure, not too unlike the southern United States. The difference and the shame of it all is that the majority of the population has for a long time been black people. There have never been any laws or legislation fixing the status of these black people, and yet for almost all of these 300 years, the black man in the Bahamas was subjected to a position of inferiority that placed him solidly on the bottom of the social structure. He suffered indignities, discrimination for his humanness, and most of all, disrespect for himself. He was taught to be ashamed of his blackness, and by custom and white power was made to despise himself and his brother. The same factors which were at work among neighbors began to affect him, and for the past 50 years, he began to sacrifice so as to make education possible for his sons. White power discouraged him and in many instances prevented him and absolutely refused him the opportunity to get education en masse. Nevertheless, there were those among them who, at great sacrifice and vision, sent their sons by the ones and twos to Europe and America to be educated. Some fulfilled the dreams of their fathers and returned to the land of their birth. They became with outlooks and attitudes that caused more of their brothers to go. Where two went before, five took their places. Of these five, two returned. Then 10 went and 6 returned. And on until sufficient were here, imbued even unknown to themselves with the latent philosophy of black power. By 1947, sufficient had returned to act as a leaven among the people and sufficiently independent and bold to preach it from the public platform. Instinctively, They taught the people and never gave up. To all this, the white power structure paid no attention. And when they did, jeered at these voices crying in the wilderness. By 1953, the message had gotten to sufficient people for organizations to be formed with the sole objective of planning the destruction of the white structure. By 1956, these several organizations had congealed into one strong body determined to make itself heard throughout the land and dedicated to the proposition that Thomas should get his full share of the goof of the land. The black people began to throw off their lethargy, throw off the shame of being black, take pride in themselves, stop begging and scraping, and began to demand what they wanted. They were afraid no more and had faith in themselves. The educated sons of the downtrodden fathers began to return in greater and greater numbers, and more began to go abroad for education of various kinds. Then, quote unquote, whitey took notice. Until now, the white power had no fear of all this, but few among them began to sense the subtle rise of a black power that seemed to have no stopping. As Carmichael said, talking about Stokely Carmichael, black power is an attempt to develop an appetite for black by exposing the limits of white power when confronted with a united black group. The white power in the Bahamas began to panic, and being confronted by the united black group began to show to what limits they were prepared to go. From 1956, they began the frantic efforts to undo the damage that their long imbalance of power had wrought for close to 300 years. Black power was on the move, and it was too late. In 1962, the rising tide ebbed a bit, and the organization faltered somewhere. The philosophy of the majority of the people, and so the white power structure again lost sight of the inevitable rise of black power and perpetrated a great deal of stupidity. Unlikes in philosophy and temperament began to flock together with the hope of forever keeping the tide on the ebb. However, their only achievement was to confuse themselves, to lude themselves, contract megalomania and cockiness, and in the end to find themselves in a weakened and deluded state and completely ignorant of the strength of the enemy they fought. From 1962 to 1967, the black power structure continued to pursue its goal, to work and organize and plan unceasingly. They worked with a determination never before experienced by them, and they were organized. The white power structure decided that it would be best to put the whole thing to a test and hence staged a contest that seemed clearly loaded on its side. The battle was fought. The contest was staged. And surprising to all, the black power structure emerged in control. Maybe the honorable minister was hypocritical when he searched for the plastered car. Maybe he was unaware of the forces at work, which he so ardently helped to create. Maybe he did not know the label placed on the action he had taken for the past 10 years was black power. Black power is what helped to bring us majority rule and then independence. And there's so much more, in this book, because I think at the end of the day, we need to be reminded of what our foreparents were up against. You understand? I think that would help us to appreciate more of what they did accomplish, right? But let's go back to the text line, and then I think I see a call coming through. Great show as usual. At this point, BPL might as well say the devil cut. BPL might as well say the devil cutting the light off. Ah, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this struggle has been real since I was a little boy. I remember every time it rained, we know the light was cutting off. You just started grabbing candles. We had kerosene lamp back then. But yeah, man, I think what happens in many instances is that we of what took place, and we got to be reminded of what they actually went through, man, because they were in a day and time where you couldn't speak like this. You definitely couldn't get on no radio and talk, you understand? And what my grandfather in his book that the church roll on. What he discussed in terms of people going off and being educated. Part of that education was just confidence in being who you were. You understand? And a lot of that confidence is what people brought back, and they began to open businesses and create groups and societies and fraternities and sororities where people could actually work together to get some things done in this country. You understand? So I don't want us to get to the point where we feel as if 1970 we reach. No, we ain't reach. We still have a job to do. This generation, what are our children going to say about us 50 years from now? You see? Are we going to sit back and just allow things to disintegrate? The world is disintegrating. We can't do nothing but that. But unto the disintegration is a whole nother story, right? We going to the break now? Or yes, we're going to go to the break. We got to pay some bills. We got to check the news out. When it come back, I want to read a little bit from Sir Clifford Darling, all right, a Bahamian life story. And he, in one of the years of struggle from 1922 to 1958, he called the years of struggle. All right. And of course, we're taking your calls and your texts. It is an open line. So feel free to, let your independent mind speak. But keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Back after this. Listen to the guitar, give that soul some tune.
Marco's Pizza, yeah. Marco's Pizza, yeah. Someone never tastes so good.
Marco's Summer Party is bringing the fun. Choose two large one-topping pizzas with a 2-liter soda for just $34.95. Or grab a big square deal, one medium one-topping pizzas with boneless wings for just $39.95. Enter to win weekly Bahabe water passes and your very own Marco's Summer Party pack all summer long. Marco's Pizza, summer never tasted so good.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Hungry for some serious beef? Then get ready, because Burger King Nassau is bringing back the double quarter pound king. That's a full half pound of flame grilled beef, topped with melty cheese, tangy mustard, crunchy pickle, and fresh onions. Served on a toasted sesame seed bun. Classic style. Big flavor. Big protein. Big satisfaction. Get your double quarter pound king meal with medium fries and a drink for only $10.35. More food, less money. Only at Burger King Nassau.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, You must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply. This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today. I am your host, Kahunan Kusara, sitting in for Gabby Enius. And yeah, we cousins through marriage. She married to Enius. So I appreciate her letting me take the car for spinning around the block today. Numbers to call today, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. In the family of violence, toll free, 242-300-7720. Guardian Radio text line is powered by BTC. It's 422-4796, 422-4796. You're streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com or Cable Bahamas 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. Of course, the text line is open, 422-4796, 422-4796. I wanted to share some information regarding what life was like before independence. As I noted earlier, Sir Clifford Darling, the late Sir Clifford Darling, he put this book in my hand himself, right? In 2008, he signed it and he gave it to me and he said, "You're going to need this." And boy, was he right. In the 11th chapter of his book, A Bohemian Life Story, let me read some of this and get some of your responses. Texas, I see you. I'm going to get to your text in just a second. This chapter says, "The turbulence and excitement of the 50s was not confined to the political arena. The work that I was doing to awaken the taxi drivers to their untapped potential and to the evils of discrimination and racism that were fast overwhelming the society was also being done by people like Bartholomew Bastian of the Hotel Workers Union. When we met, we talked about the changes that had to come in our society. At that time, the entire colony, listen to that now, we were a colony then, wow. At that time, the entire colony was becoming poised for a change. There were grievances all over the Bahamas, especially New Providence. The Longshoremen's Union was made up of stevedores that worked the freighters that visited the port of Nassau, bringing most of the necessities of life. The union was being mistreated by the very same Bay Street fellows that were running everything. The longshoremen had big problems. The hotel workers had problems. The airline allied workers had problems. The teachers had problems. All the unions were suffering because of discrimination. To put it very simply, if the workers of the Bahamas did not do the bidding of the Bay Street fellows, they found themselves in trouble. Victimization. The workers of the country had to continually agitate for better and to protest job discrimination. As a worker, you just could not advance. Whenever a job opened up that a Bahamian could be promoted to, the employers would bring in a foreigner to take the position. So many foreigners were brought in during those years to take the place of Bahamians in many different categories of work. The Bahamas Taxi Cab Union also had some very severe problems in those years. Problems that, as it turned out, would lead to the fundamental changes that would usher in the modern era in the Bahamas. In those days, besides transporting the tourists who came in on the cruise ships, the taxi drivers depended on the business of the tourists who arrived by air for a part of their livelihood. The only airport in New Providence was the Oaksville Airport, which had been built before World War II by Sahari Oaks. Only one scheduled airline came to Nassau, Pan American Airways, as well as the occasional small charter flights. The Pan Am flight, unlike today's jumbo airplanes, carried a very small amount of passengers. In order to be able to pick up a fare, when the flight arrived at 9 a.m., the taxi drivers would go to the airport to await the flight's arrival as early as 3 o'clock in the morning in order to be at the head of the line. The drivers would spend 6 hours sitting in the damp early mornings only to find out that when the airline arrived, the passengers would be loaded in vehicles belonging to each of the hotels where the new arrivals had reservations. The Monarchy Beach Hotel, the Royal Victoria, and the British Colonial Hotel each had their own stretch limousines that were driven by men employed by the hotels. When the hotel's limousines were filled, the drivers employed by the hotels would go to the line of taxis that were patiently waiting for fares. However, they refused to take the first cabs in line, choosing instead their favorite taxi drivers, many of whom had only just arrived at the airport, to assist them. This practice was totally unfair to the other drivers who had spent 6 long hours in the taxi line. Some of the men would not get any jobs even though they had waited all that time. As president of the union, I decided that this had to be stopped. I demanded that all of our men be respected and treated impartially. When it was announced that a new airport to be called Windsor Field would be built at the western end of the island, I made my members a promise. I told them that the way transportation for passengers from the Oaksfield Airport to the hotels was arranged would not be the practice at the new Nassau International Airport when it opened. My final plan of action was not decided upon lightly or quickly. Weeks before the airport was scheduled to open, I had met with the authorities in an effort to try to correct the unfair treatment of the taxi drivers. I met with the Hotel Association and complained to them about the unfair treatment. Despite our arguments, the association maintained that they would not intervene because every hotel, as far as they were concerned, had the right to handle the transportation of their own guests as they wished. I also went to the Attorney General, Mr. L.A. W. Orr. He could resolve this taxing problem, but he said that he could not do anything as this was a trade dispute and the government could not become involved. As a last ditch effort, I went to see the governor, Sir Raynor Arthur. He had arrived early in 1957 to take up the appointment as governor of the Bahama Islands, directly from his posting in the Falkland Islands, where he'd had more sheep than people to govern. I remember Sir Raynor's words at the official welcoming ceremony. He told the residents of the Bahamas, "I promise that while I remain your governor, I shall put your interests above all others." When I went to see him in October of 1957, however, his idea of putting our interests above all others was to tell me that he could not get involved in a trade dispute. This is just some of the words of Sir Clifford Darling's book, A Bahamian Life Story. But the fact that you had all of these things that were going on in the 1950s, the hotel workers had problems, the airline ally workers had problems, the teachers had problems, all the unions were suffering because of discrimination. This tells us that yes, we've done a lot, we've accomplished a lot, but in some ways, a lot of things just haven't changed. You understand? And so this Independence Day, I think we all need to reflect on how we can step up our game. Not individually, we need a game. You understand? I mean, and it starts with just, you know, as our great friend Chrissy Love would always say, "A beach before its doorstep swept, the village would be clean." Right? We got to start there. One text is asking, what has changed? I mean, and from that excerpt in the 1950s, a lot of things haven't changed. But let me go back to the text now. And y'all could call in and text on what I just read. But this text says, "Uncle, I have noticed during this soccer World Cup that when the African teams lose to the European teams that have players of African descent on their teams versus the African teams that have Africans from the motherland, I noticed that the players on the African teams that lose have this victim or Stockholm syndrome kind of mentality that, hey, we lost because the refs cheated or FIFA was against us, etc. In real life, someone who is a minority has to work harder to prove themselves despite all the obstacles in front of them in order to earn the rewards of whatever it is we are after, in this case, the mentality of the African descent players playing for the white European teams have a mentality that they are winners and no one can stop them, whereas the African teams always feel like losers or victims and that the powers that be will prevent them from suffering or something bad will happen." You see this kind of thinking in real life. Well, Dexter, I don't follow football, soccer, enough to understand the politics. Now, I have some friends who, you know, have explained to me some of the politics behind what they see going on in FIFA football, right? And I don't think it's as simple as that. So I've been programmed, self-hate has been programmed, etc. But we just had a situation where the president of the United States intervened for his team. And I only heard the story briefly, where one of their players was given a red card and he couldn't play in the next game. President Trump called in whatever discussion they had, I think he was allowed to play. And of course, that caused a whole another combruction. But this all goes back to the politics, the geopolitical power that a country has. Many of these African nations don't have the geopolitical power of the European countries that some of the Africans are playing on. And so, yeah, they do feel dejected because they know they don't have no power. They really don't have no power. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I plan to do some watching of the World Cup now that we're coming on to the end, you know. I ain't a big I love the game. I love the sport. But if I don't know the players, it's hard for me to follow. I like the backstory. I guess me watching American football and baseball spoil me because they just give you a backstory. You know what I mean? He was born in a cornfield, and he found a bat. And now he's in the major league. Like, yeah. All right. All right. Let's, Dexter says, history is good, but we must focus on our reality now. Unfortunately, nothing seems to be working right in the Bahamas. Yes, past leaders in the 1950s struggled to take the positions of the whites. The blacks are in charge now. However, instead of sharing the wealth of our country with the masses, they are taxing us to fill their pockets, also families, close friends, and lovers, and gain assets. Meanwhile, the common citizens are in poverty and struggling to make ends meet. This is wrong in the sight of God. Know that whatever we sow in the earthly life, we shall reap after death, in the judgment before the great judge. Dexter, let me go back over your first comment. History is good, but we must focus on our reality now. You can't focus on your reality now if you don't know history. That's the problem. That's the problem. We looking at things as if it's happening in a vacuum, right? You got to know history in order to be able to see what's in the front of you. You understand? I think, let me tell you what a big problem I see in this country is, okay? Yes, the political elite, we could point at things that they have done and are doing that need to change. But I'm here to tell you, one of the biggest problems in politics in this country is the electorate. That's what you could control. You can't control what the political elite does. The most you could do is on an election, they vote for or against or don't vote. But the electorate has more power than it actually knows that it has. You understand? And I think that we get so bogged down in what we can't do that we don't organize ourselves to figure out what we can do. You see, the politicians are only going to acquiesce or to respond to what the majority of us do. If we begin to do anything in this country that makes sense, I guarantee you they'll run in the front of us to make us think that it was their idea. But it's up to actually come together and put the type of ideas in place that could actually bring about the changes. The system, we didn't build the system. We can't change the system overnight. This Westminster system, the economic reality that we in, we got to work with that, just like our foreparents had to work with it. And that's why I say we can't be so quick to say, "Damn, do nothing." I mean, for what they had and what they was up against, they did a lot. I ain't saying it was perfect, because Lord knows we ain't perfect today. You understand? So these type of conversations around this time of year, I pray, will bring us into a frame of mind that allows for us to begin to ultimately say, what is it that we can do? Right? Let me read some more from Let the Church Roll On. Right? My grandfather, he has a chapter in here called The Destruction of the UBP, a Clinical Observation. Right? Because this is the obstacle that our foreparents, in many instances, had to jump over or go around or go through. But listen to this. The obstacle of the UBP, a clinical observation from Let the Church Roll On by Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas Sr., my grandfather. This is the prelude. From 1729 to 1967, the parliament of this country and almost everything else in it was under the control of a group of men who regarded it and the rest of the country as their own private province. And no interference from any quarter. This was theirs. The House of Assembly, as Parliament was known for many years, was, for all intent and purposes, their private club, where on certain evenings, attired in evening clothes, they debated. Listen to this. They was in, I wish he had pictures of them. In evening clothes, that's basically pajamas, right? Right? On certain evenings, attired in evening clothes, they debated the issues that control the destinies of all the citizens of the Commonwealth. When I knew it, the members of this august body were not paid for this effort in the ordinary currency of the land. Their remuneration came in the power that they wielded. For most of the time, connection with the commerce of the land, and so the laws of the country were made and manipulated so as to benefit them. They possessed power, and they used it. More often than not, the men who controlled the House of Assembly were the descendants of the Loyalist, the Lutheran adventurers. They were elected, quote-unquote, by the same system that precluded the descendants of the slaves and anybody else who was not in their ilk. A few British officials have been known to be, quote-unquote, elected by the same system due to the weight of their office. It took many years for a descendant of a slave to be elected to the House, and until the early 1950s, those obvious descendants of slaves were of so small a minority that they served only as token representatives and had virtually no power. Again, when I remembered it, a general election was constitutionally held every 7 years. I see we had a couple of shows ago where they were saying, you think we should get in one more year? Used to be 7. One had to own property to be able to vote or be in possession of property. Only one owner and one tenant were able to vote on any one given piece of property in each electoral district. A registered company had a vote, but no female, irrespective of whom she might be. This system allowed many a man to cast multiple ballots in open voting. Secret balloting and the vote for women are new innovations on the electoral system of the Bahamas. So it used to be open voting. There was no secret ballot. Women couldn't vote. Another method of assuring the continuance of the control was the custom of holding elections on different days on different islands and districts. This was for the convenience of the candidates and the multiple voters by enabling them to move from place to place. It was a vicious system, but it kept the Bay Street Boys, as they were traditionally called, in power for many, many years. In 1951, an organization called the Citizens Committee introduced the idea of political parties to the country, but never succeeded in the effort. In 1953, a group of mulattoes founded a party and called it the Progressive Liberal Party. A group of mulattoes. This party fared much better and stuck doggedly to its plans, but was finally taken over by the more definite descendants of the slaves. This political party was run by young, educated black men who had no intentions of giving up or allowing the Bay Street Boys to go on forever. They had some successes at the polls, and by doing so, they forced the boys, quote-unquote, to form a political party, which became the United Bahamian Party, the UBP. The UBP had no idea that it was possible to lose power in this political arena. One of their members declared openly, "Our fathers left us this country, and with careful planning, we intend to keep it." That's what they said. "Our fathers left us this country, and with careful planning, we intend to keep it." The PLP did a commendable job in galvanizing the people and became a force so strong and so intent on getting the rights of the people for the people that they won the government by the sheer weight of the determination. They won by a margin of one, but that is all that the Westminster system of government requires. This victory stunned the country, and I believe it had the same effect upon the world. It's certainly the UBP party, to the extent that it never revived itself to any form of glory, much less its former glory. So when in 1967 a Bohemian youth of African heritage, being a member of a political science class in one of the universities, heard about it, he was fascinated. The whole class was fascinated. So this youngster was assigned the task of writing a paper on the subject. Having vacated the local scene for most of his adult life, he requested to me my opinion as to the cause of such a dramatic change. I, wanting to be provocative, and after contemplating his request for a while, sent him what I considered was the simple cause. Sidney Poitier brought about the downfall. Sidney Poitier brought about the downfall of the UBP government. Being accustomed to arguing with me on any subject, he sensed my goading for a bout and immediately requested an explanation, which stimulated my writing the following. And then he goes on to this clinical observation. Of course, the book will be out, so you'll be able to see how Sidney Poitier, according to my grandfather, he brought about the downfall of the UBP. So this country has a rich history, and we ought not allow the history to just remain on the shelves or on websites or on recording devices that we're not listening to. Because if not, we begin to think of the efforts of our elders and our foreparents as, so what? They did that, but so what? You know, and so we just sit back and complain while we are literally benefiting from the hard work that they have actually put in. And this independence, what is it that we intend to do? What is the electorate? What is the intent of the electorate? Can't vote no more for the next 5 years. Election just gone. So what are we going to do to help to make this country better? I mean, we could do simple stuff like, let's just don't litter up the place. You know, if you go walking on the beach, I mean, the amount of garbage you see just strewn about the place. How hard that? What is it? What is causing us to litter? What is causing us to throw stuff out of the cars we're driving? How many days I'm driving and I just watch bottle into the bush or just throw paper out of the car? Like, whose fault is that? That's who fault? That's the politician's fault? That's the people who in charge for it. You in charge of keeping the garbage off the street. You understand what I'm saying? Let's stop harboring criminals. If you're a boy, if you're a girl out there doing foolishness, tell them to stop or tell them, look, man, that's why we have Crime Stoppers. You don't even got to go to the police now. You just call the Crime Stoppers and smile up with them and know the police looking for them. Because the reality of the situation is, this is our country, and we're destroying it in many aspects. We're destroying it. So now you have a brain drain going on, because people ultimately say, "Man, I don't have time for that foolishness." You understand? And I don't mean just listen. There's people who come from the out island. They come for a day and they shoot right back. They say, "I can't deal with Nassau. The traffic is horrible." We refuse to fix or create a bus system in this country. We do not have a bus system in this country. That's what I'm saying. It's a joke. You understand? But we can fix this. We, the electorate, we can fix it. Let's go back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio Today. Call you live.
Hey, brother, what was happening, man?
Hey, great, man. Thanks for calling.
Listen, always, man, if you said something that I always thought was funny about my uncle. My uncle would come from Kent Island.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas morning. and on Boxing Day morning, he on the plane, guy, back.
I'm telling you.
I used to be like, What's going on, man?
You know, when I go for a couple of days, man, Ox, amen.
Ox, this master, you know. They say, oh, buddy. Oh, my, don't get all like that, buddy. They say, you safe, nigga.
They know you. They don't know me.
Yeah, they know me. But you said something that kind of sparked on a couple of things. You said that the UVP sort of kind of never revived itself after.
It didn't get back to its former glory, is what he was saying. Not that they went away. They didn't disappear. But go ahead.
Right. So they didn't disappear, but they never got back to where they needed to be. But in my mind, right, you look at the concept.
Mm.
These fellas, how they got what they needed to get, already built up enough wealth, nobody wants to give up power that easily, right?
Of course not.
Because if they could hold on to it, if they could have held on to it forever, they would have.
Of course.
But I believe at some point, some leaders are like, you know what? I think we did enough damage. We get what we got to get. Maybe it's time for us to go and benefit off of the systems that we put in place for us and our friends and our people.
Right.
And even what they put in the place is still monopolized. And what kills me is we talk about black empowerment, black Bahamians being empowered, entrepreneurs, but then again, a lot of these sectors, a lot of these businesses, the face of these businesses still, if they're not, of course, they're not the same fellas, but they are the descendants of these men who still run the town.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at it, man. Mm-hmm. Just look at what they talk about. Talk about creating jobs. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
And I think Bahamian people need to move away from this ideology that jobs are good. Like, that's all we're good for. You see the sun outside? You mean to tell me that's what you're celebrating?
Yeah.
you celebrating construction jobs, and then when that's done, you celebrating being a security, a waitress, a bartender, a croupier.
My Lord.
A this, and this blazing heat. That's what you celebrating?
Mm.
9 to 5? Where you ain't making enough to enjoy your life and see it, where you got to be, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, be celebrating.
Yeah.
That's nothing to celebrate, man.
Yeah.
But I thought about what you said, and I can't put all my words together right now.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
again,
yeah.
To you, keep up the great job.
Yeah, man, appreciate
it. Like the show. Yeah. Happy independence to you.
Thank you. Happy independence to you too, brother. Yeah, I mean, we got to slow down long enough to be able to plans. And there are people doing it. Now, don't get me wrong. They may not be on the radio talking about it or in the newspaper talking about it. But trust me, there are some people who are saying to themselves, look, I ain't got time to mess with the rest of y'all. Right? And they getting things done in their own sphere. Right? This texter says, I will spend this weekend packing up and getting ready to leave here forever. Wow. Wow. The PLP just as bad as the old UBP. I'm an eighth generational Bahamian, and I am done. That's a texter. That's a texter. I will spend this weekend packing up and getting ready to leave here forever. Wow. Let's take a break, Mr. Producer. I want to think about that and respond. This is Guardian Radio today. I am Calhoun Ankou Sarah, Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, sitting in for Gabby Aeneas on Guardian Radio today. Keep it locked here. We're going to pay some bills back after this.
Listen to the guitar, give that soul some tune. You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Oh,
let print masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. Winding cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games, brand new luggage from Brass and Leather, 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline, August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Guess who's back?
It's the time again for the 31st annual Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Bring it on now, let's go.
Whether you're a player or a fan, you don't want to miss this one. The action starts July 13th at the Hope Center. Hello. Log on to peaceonthestreets.com and register.
Come on, everybody, let's go.
That's the Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Game time.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and nightlife. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. Complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site fitness center with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Your special Bahamas tourist rate awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University Drive, in Plantation. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-472-5600 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96 Smart Talk all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk all day.
You're a business too. Listen to the drummer playing his beat. Listen to the bass man. Go get
the
same groove.
Yeah, grooving here on Guardian Radio today, here on 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. I am your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara, sitting in for Gabby Enius today on a Wednesday, hump day Wednesday. It's about 20 minutes until the hour, and let's go to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live.
I'm cool. How you doing? C. Allen, John.
Hey, C. Allen. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. You know, I hear you talk about, like, the fact that, let's use as a comparison, 1973, mm-hmm. GDP of the Bahamas was $600 million. Today, it's $16 billion. Our population then was 200,000 in 1973. Today, it's 400,000. It's double.
Mm-hmm.
And notice that the population doubled, but the GDP has grown from $600 million to $16 billion.
My Lord.
Yet today, Bahamians own less of the Bahamian economy than our forefathers.
Like, what's up with that? Yeah.
And it's madness. Now, the problem now, though, is that what we have been done, you know, you have animals, they say to put a shark in a tank, put fish on one side and a glass in between, and the shark will keep banging on the glass. You move the glass, he still would not go any further.
Mm.
And it's the same thing for various different animals and conditioning.
Mm.
Would we have been conditioned in the Bahamas over the last 25 years of the 21st century, the prime minister, the current prime minister, in his last incarnation, in the last, when he spoke in Life at Key, and he told them that the walls had to come down and that he was going to disrupt everything. And then when challenged, he went to the Court of Bahamas and did a similar speech. The problem with that, for those of us who are, was wondering what walls he was talking about, which brings me back to the story of the animals. We have become so fixated on the gate. And every time these people go, they put more chains on the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have become so fixated on the gate that we don't realize that the walls are threatened, has fallen.
Mm.
And so we keep saying, if we can only get through the gate, and never once we look to the left or to the right to see, just go around the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about technology and digitization. And I would tell, I see a lot of behemoths and other people escape to the United States and Canada and everywhere else. And they're looking for jobs and opportunity. But the opportunity for most behemoths is right here in the backyard. Because the gate I'm talking about is digitization. There's an economic model. We're good. One thing that behemoths are, in 2020, we came out. It's a perfect thing, you know. I like the idea of 2020, you know, perfect vision.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, we came out with the DARE bill. And do you know today, the DARE bill where we just got it and haven't done anything, a multi-trillion dollar economy is being developed around it. In fact, if you watch the news, you could hear what Donald Trump made, two bills, just him, Donald Trump now, not his children and other people around him. Donald Trump alone has made $2 billion in the last 12 months in that economic model.
Mm-hmm.
And so the resources is there. And so when we look at this concept of we are part of Caribbean and CARICOM, and we look at the various different markets, and I think if behemoths understand which this new token is, you look it up and call it tokenization.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing for those individuals who love to think they know is something called the agentic economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a revolving economy, A-G-E-N-T-I-C. In fact, if you combine tokenization and the agentic economy, you'll find something unique. And believe it or not, we were first movers on this, just like the sand dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Tokenization becomes the asset layer. AI agents becomes the labor and execution layer. Smart contracts becomes the rule layer. Stable coins, tokenization, CBDCs that we was the first mover on, become the settlement layer. And digital ID and verifiable credentials, not the digital ID that people keep thinking they're afraid of, right? Because again, those are individuals talking respectfully out of ignorance. They become the trust layer. And together they form this new concept called the agentic economy. And it's not a multiple economy. It's a single economy by which all economies will be absorbed into as one. And what it does today, we talk about today's newspaper, and many people have heard me talk about the $3.5 billion, $4 billion in liquidity sitting in banks today. One of the economists spoke about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have $4 billion in the bush. But what the agentic economy does, do you know we have $60 billion in assets in behemoth hands sitting in the Bahamas. Let me use an example for you to understand this. If you own a home and your seniors right now are struggling to pay their bills, but there's a means by which we pass a law. In fact, believe it or not, whether Mr. Davis knows it or not, he passed one of the laws a week or two before election that allows me, if we're given the opportunity to come to you and you say you own a home for $400,000, but you have $300,000 worth of equity, I can come, use your equity in your house with no risk to you, no loans or anything, and you could earn $15,000 a year in interest, 5% per year, as if you deposited it into the bank. These are the new rules that's being played. So when you look and out of the assets around the country, and we say, you know, people, they're sitting on assets. But what we have done is we are locked and loaded into the past. And I'm saying that when you look at the various different economies in the Caribbean, where you have a smaller population group, they're in the same tourism business. And so when you have gatekeepers that would even fight you to keep you within an invisible fence, you try to develop this idea and understand the new economic model that's coming and go to places like Dominica, with 66,000 people, on a small economy of 724, they would appreciate that you have the capability I'll try to give you $1,000 and you go down there and build some short-term vacation rentals, because now you are a foreign investor within those countries. And you have countries like Grenada. You have, you know, the small economy, like St. Kitts, I think in Nevis, maybe have about 50,000 people.
Mm.
So what I'm simply saying is the opportunities are for us to take. Remember, this is about ownership.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Bahamians will say, I don't know about running a hotel. You're not running a hotel. They have people within those industries. This is about opportunity and ownership. And, you know, and you just in the ending, I'll say this. You talked about there's some people planning. Since 2019, my wife and I have been planning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're building an ark. No, we're not building an ark. We have built an ark.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I say it jokingly, but sometimes I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to build me a church. I'm looking for some church members, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for 1,000 people who I could help to get into this spaces with little or no money.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll become part of my church. And they'll give 10% to the church and 10% to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, say, $1.25 million with 1,000 people, by teaching them, they will have their $1 to $2 million and their $200,000 a year. But you know how the church multiplies, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
At least I used to take down the church because we like politics and religion. I'm not going to go into politics.
But so you go to church, okay.
In the religion aspect, you know, that what that does now is that every year, while they make their money because I house the 20% of the 1,000 of them, I make $125 million a year and the church make $125 million a year.
Mm.
And so, but what it does is that if they, and I use the church as an example, I say, if they look to the church without the awakening, without the awareness, without the memory, the first memory that you try to teach, then they become robots. And it becomes an opportunity for exploitation. But not in the pure sense, because I believe, you know, we talk about teach people. I believe that if you empower people, they will demand better education, they will demand better neighborhoods, they will demand better homes, they will demand a better country. And so we should teach empowerment. Yes, in the same sense that we're trying to educate people. And so if we teach empowerment, like you say, even without educating you, I could teach you to build a house. I could teach you to repair a car. It's a form of education rather than the routing that we normally do. And simply said is that the opportunity is here. The Bahamas is the central point of the Caribbean and even for Americas. The problem is that we have leadership who don't know.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, see, I didn't say you started changing, you can make it rich. Thank you so much, C. Allen. This taxer says, hey, Uncle, I am really distressed at how filthy Nassau is. When I was younger, we took pride in our surroundings. I just cannot comprehend the mindset that has this place so filthy. Suck my teeth. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. We have the power to keep the place clean, at least. Or at least do our part to keep wherever we live clean. Good day, Uncle. Government need to put up power bill, especially for the PLPs. Ride the heat wave with Brave to the grave. Hope you're all safe. So please behave and sweat in your cave. Right now, you all are a slave. Sweat with arrogant. Okay. All right, y'all having fun on this independence. What happened when Columbus landed? First, the natives freak out at the vessel he arrived in. I have $500 billion to invest and 200 drops. Meanwhile, Columbus' eyes bug out. Look at the valuables these people have, and they don't realize it. I could see where y'all keep the rest of these stuff, please. Beaches, private islands, personal data, and government contracts. Here's a piece of iron for y'all bag of groceries. Columbus has landed again. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow. Hi, what's happening with the talk shows? What's the latest? The latest is that this is an open line, so you should call in. All right. One day, a young lady with grocery chain uniform on that says Honesty Patrol was walking west. She threw a plastic drink cup with a straw on the side of the road. Asked why she did that, no answer, and it seemed she was offended. She How you know she was of Haitian descent? Anyway, you say she's of Haitian descent and is from the area. Is this what we should allow with fines, walking or driving? Whether you're of Haitian descent or Bahamian descent, littering is nasty. And it's something that we could control, right? And ain't no way you have an excuse to just be nasty. One of the things I want to leave you all with, the Ministry of Innovation, because we're talking about doing some new things in the country, right? So you have the Ministry of Innovation and National Development. Ministry of Innovation and National Development. That's the acronym is MIND. Of course, that's led by Minister Sebastian Bastian. They're saying that this will improve the future of the Bahamas country into a future-driven economy through four fundamental pillars: modernizing government services, building future readiness, developing Bahamian talent, and executing the National Development Plan. Okay. So with regard to modernizing government operations, they plan to do national digital identification systems. There's a smart government integration, introducing AI-driven administrative tools to handle routine paperwork, brief writing, and research, freeing up public servants to deliver faster results. There's an upgraded communications, transitioning the civil service to advanced email systems and collaboration productivity platforms to eliminate systemic processing delays. As far as building artificial intelligence readiness and guardrails, there's the National AI Committee assembling legal, technical, and public experts to draft the country's first formal AI legislation. There's Artificial Intelligence Authority establishing a permanent governance body to ensure data privacy, combat misinformation, and oversee safe technological expansion. There's the developing of Bahamian talent, a national AI literacy initiative offering both online and in-person training programs that teach AI and software productivity tools to Bahamians of all skill levels. There's also the classroom integration, actively collaborating with the Ministry of Education to introduce AI technology directly into schools, ensuring children cultivate future-ready skills early. And then there's the National Development Plan. And what they aim to do, rather than letting long-term vision documents sit on shelves, the ministry absorbs the National Development Plan Secretariat to drive action. All right, the practical execution is moving key national initiatives directly from the planning phase into measurable development projects across all family islands. So on this independence, everything ain't bad, everything ain't good. I guess is what you all what we focus on. Some people have sent me, or at least someone sent me a text and said they leaving, they done. I am most assured that they're gonna find problems where they go to, but I understand, I feel them, because some of their problems you could deal with versus. Yeah, I feel them. This text says, I was writing some long text, but you didn't call in. History, okay, you read that. Meanwhile, the common citizens are in poverty and struggling to make ends meet. This is wrong in the sight of God. I read that one earlier. Bahamians should boycott all independence events. Let the politicians them attend them. Why y'all like that? Why y'all like that? How does the admin who rejected this very concept on November 2025 by Pintard, saying it was impossible, now going to do it via Sebastian? Well, we got to see. They in charge. So at the end of the day, they the ones who they got the ball in play. Right? 33-8. I think that's what the count was, if I'm not mistaken, 33-8. Overwhelmingly, a mandate was given to this government. Yeah, the ball in their court. You know what I mean? We'll see. Sebas Bastian is showing that he's an innovative person in his personal life, so he should be able to bring those skills, those talents to the government and benefit us all. This next text asks a question. You think MINDS initiative was made by the minister? King Charles already said from the throne, digital IDs is what he supports. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you think it's deeper than that, Dexter. This Dexter says, everything that the Ministry of Innovation and National Development listed as innovative, like emails, etc., is 25 years old. Seriously. But I think the innovation may be just executing finally. Because stuff been written. Stuff sitting on shelves. Right? You have literal departments that are not communicating with each other to actually make things seamless. You got to hand in documents to several different places, or if you hand in the document and you come back, they want you to hand in the document again. Like, those things need to be fixed. You know, there's a level of organization that itself is innovative. And I pray it works. You know what I'm saying? Because we got people saying that they moving, they leaving. They ain't coming back. You understand? And so through it all, when we read the memoirs of Sir Clifford Darling or a Dr. Cleveland Enea Sr., or even one of my next reads is Sir Lyndon Penland, the book that he left behind. Because I think it's important for us. And then, of course, the Honorable Hubert Ingraham. You know, he has a book that I'm going to purchase all the volumes of it. And I think we owe it to ourselves to at least go back and see what they did. Yes, we're going to find mistakes. That's the whole point of studying history, is to see what was wrong or what didn't go as planned even, right? Might not have been wrong, it just didn't execute it, right? And what actually worked, right? We got to do that in order to have a proper plan for today, right? Because many people's plan is just, hey, man, they just apathetic, you understand? And then you got people like C. Allen who say he about to start a church. You know, C. Allen them planning. But you got people, you got pockets of people, and these pockets of people who are planning, because we, in some instances, we just keep reinventing the wheel, you know. You may have a wheel, and I may have the front seat, and somebody may have the light, and the next person may have, you know what I'm saying, the rearview mirror. We got to communicate to get this country moving in the direction it needs to go. We got to be thankful for where we are at. There's a lot to celebrate. It's easy to complain, but there's a lot to celebrate, right? I'm grateful that I can come on the radio and share. And, you know, whether people agree or disagree, you know, we have the opportunity to share. And we have the opportunity to critique our government as best we can. My name again is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enos III, also known as Calhoun, on Kusara, sitting in for the lovely Gabby Enos. And I guess she'll be back next week. She'll let me know, or let the station know. She'll be here or someone will be here. But I'll see you next week, most high willing. The Talking Heads are up next. Naughty and MJ, keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Namaste, family. Got a whole lot of soul. Good God. London.